We've been starting this Bible study, and it's not really a new Bible study. It's an old Bible study. In fact, if you study the Bible, it's all old. Well, it's still new. Amen. In our conversation before we actually started service tonight, we talked about a lot of things, right? A lot of things that would easily trip you up. A lot of things that would make you look at the whiz-bang and miss the guy who's lighting the fuse, right? The whiz-bang, a firework, right? And miss the one who's actually in control of all of these things. Now, we know that God the Father is sovereign over everything that's happening. But what we're seeing, the things that are happening, that we're seeing, that we're acknowledging with our own eyes, with our own physical body, it looks like turmoil. It looks like the world is upside down. Or is God turning the world right side up? We've been in an upside down world for a long time. How would it feel, right, if we've, all these years of our life, all of our understanding, all the way back to right after Christ was crucified and dispensationalism started taking course in the world, that the world got flipped upside down from righteousness to unrighteousness. And now God is turning the world right back from unrighteousness to righteousness. Wouldn't that feel odd? It would feel like everything that we know is falling apart on every side. What I'm saying is everything that we know is falling apart on every side. But the truth, held in God's word, tells me not to worry about these things. That there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars. There'll be things happening in the heavenlies, right? That, I mean, there are things that are happening in the heavens, right? In the stars, in the sky, that we are seeing possibly for the first time. There's an awakening happening that we are not created from a cosmic explosion a gazillion million years ago. But through science, through really looking deeply into things, that there had to be a creator of all of these things that we say happened by accident, or we were taught were happened by accident. If you're part of the public education system, we were all part of it, we were taught some lies that were disguised as truth, right? We really were. And we all got sucked up into that because my teacher told me, my grandparents, the people I trusted, trust the science, right? And we all got sucked into that. But the truth never changed. In the beginning, God said.
Right? A lie can always stand for but a moment.
Yeah.
A lie cannot stand eternally.
Amen.
And the truth will always come back up again.
Always.
And again. Constantly have to push it down, the truth.
Yeah.
Truth will prevail.
Yeah?
You know?
How many times were we told that in 12 years the world's going to be over?
Yeah.
You know,
in the 70s they said it was global cooling.
Yeah. Right. Well, the ozone, right?
The ozone.
And so it was. I thought it was the ozone first, so we had to stop aerosols.
Yeah.
Can't have spray on underarm deodorant anymore. You got to have roll on, which really, I hated that stuff. I would rather go around stinking and have to roll that garbage under my arms. And then they filled it full of aluminum, which caused tumor cancers underneath your arms and stuff like that. Sure, you didn't sweat. But, you know, you need to sweat to get the toxins out of your body. It's kind of like a system that was created by God. So the truth is, truth never changes. That's what truth is. Exactly what Kevin said. A lie you've got to propitiate.
Got to put energy back in
you've
the system
got,
all
yes,
the time.
All the time. It's like a bicycle tire that has a small leak in it. You've got to constantly pump it up.
And lies lead to more lies, to more lies, to more liars. They lie more and more. They don't have the truth. They don't know the truth.
Yeah.
They don't know the truth.
Amen. They don't know because they've been told the lie so much. Okay, here's a lie that's going around right now. Okay, and it's in the political realm. Kamala Harris was never in charge of the border.
Right.
Okay? Now, I do agree that the president...
Fracking.
She's not against fracking. And that she's actually of African descent. Okay? Here's another falsity that's going around. Trump is the savior.
Right.
Trump is not the Savior. And it's not going to matter. And it isn't going to matter. Really, listen to me. This is from my heart. I can't prove it yet, but I'll prove it in about 4 years. It does not matter who sits in the White House. Doesn't matter. Trump isn't going to save it. Kamala's not going to make it much worse than what
there
it is.
There are powers way over
there. Thank you. Come on with that. The truth is, these are puppets. In fact, I would say these are puppets of puppets. So the puppeteers, the powers and the principalities in the heavenly realms are the masters of the puppet. All right? And then they have a big puppet, right? And he's doing the thing, the world government things, Russia, Israel, America, you know, China. There's those. And then there's the little puppets underneath them. So the big puppeteer is working the smaller puppeteer, which is working the smaller puppeteer, which comes down to the folks who don't know any better, and they become simple sticks bouncing on a string. Do you catch the cascading effect of deception? We are about on the 38th level of deception coming down from the top. I mean, regular folks like you and I. Right?
Well, it's because we want a king.
Thank you, my brother. But the truth is, we have a king.
Yeah.
There is a sovereign Lord.
Well, we can't see him,
I need... What did they ask for? What did Israel ask? We want a king like the other nations. We want a ruler like the rest of the world has. That way we can...
Desire to be like the world as close as you can.
Yeah!
Without being the world.
Without being
there.
The world. Yeah. And so... But... We who have been illuminated, and we're going to talk a little bit about illumination today, the light. And so last week we talked about this, what is truth? From John 18, Pontius Pilate asking that wonderful question to when truth was standing right before him. And he said, what is truth? And Jesus said, listen, here's truth. And he laid it out for him. So today we're going to look at, again, what is truth from 1 John chapter 1, 14. And but we can't start in 14. Of course you can't, because there's so much more to it. So we'll start in 6. All right.
John 1. At the top,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
John
yeah.
1,
right over
14.
Here.
Yeah.
John 1, 14. Oh, but we're starting in John 1, 6. All right. And so we'll start teaching there, but we can't do John 1, 6 without the base. All right. And the base is this: in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I love this. All things were made by Him. How many?
All.
Nancy, how much is all?
Everything.
Everything. Even evil.
Yep.
Even good, bad, fish, birds, everything. Air, molecules, DNA. Okay. All things were made by Him. And without Him... was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light, the illumination of man. All right? In the one who created everything, in Him was the genesis of breath. Right? It was the genesis of the very first breathing of anything. It was life. And that life was the light of men. So we think of life. Like, I'm looking at Wendy, I'm looking at Nancy and Doug. I'm looking at you, and I said, that's life. Or I'm looking at a dog or a cat or a tree, that's life. Actually, life isn't what we perceive with our eyes. True life is light. It's the expression of the Godhead inside of the creation. Right? It's God who created all things, and He breathed into the first, He spoke and it happened, right? In the beginning, God said and it happened. God said it was good. Then God scooped up dirt and He breathed into it and made something different than all of the other things He had ever made before, and made a living soul in the likeness of the Godhead, right? That is Adam. After that, we can go through that a little bit at a time as we go on. But this light, this illumination, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Why are some folks never brought to light? Because they're dark. And they cannot comprehend it.
Yeah. It's so true.
I mean, the light that is
with... Can't comprehend it.
The Thank you, my brother. Thank you for holding up the Bible, because that is the word. And we're going to talk about the word and all that kind of stuff, because this is the thing that stops you from being deceived. This book, the King James Bible, and I always emphasize the King James Bible, because there are other transliterations of men that I love, that I believe that they're born again, but they are deceived by the word that they're reading.
Because there are even deceivers that use the King James.
Amen.
But add a dispensational
term. Scofield Bible. Right?
Revelation 22.
Revelation 22. Dave, Al.
So we've made a different version to help you comprehend the word.
Yes.
And then we distorted the word.
Right, yes. Which brought you into a deeper darkness because you will not accept the light. John chapter 3, verses 19, 20, this is condemnation, that light came into the world. And man loved darkness rather than their light, because their deeds were evil. Amen?
The thing is, you can't just say Bible anymore.
No. Uh-uh. You've got to emphasize King James.
Yeah, because there is a group of Bible.
There are a plethora. Amen. There's only one word of God. In fact, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we'll get into this here in a moment, but this light that came into all men, the light that shineth in the darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All right, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All right?
Conception.
The light of conception. They weren't able to see this except for the last probably 10, maybe 15 years, where they actually watched the seed go into the egg. And when that seed actually broke the membrane of the egg and its tail falls off, there is a spark. It's light. It was visibly recorded. Amen? All of a sudden, because of science, we can actually see that the Word of God is true. Every man, every single person that comes through the matrix, every single person that comes from the egg and the seed, every single human being that was born with that light, save one, okay? And that was Jesus Christ, because he was conceived in a completely different way. I don't know exactly how, because they didn't have x-rays back then. I don't know how that happened, except through the Word of God, that the Spirit of God moved over Mary, and she said, "I'm your handmaid, use me as you will," paraphrasing. And then he impregnated her with himself. And so the virgin gave birth. But he was the true light. See, he didn't have the sin of Adam.
And she was still a virgin.
And she was still a virgin.
See.
Amen.
That's what people need to
know. Yes.
A lot of filthy people will say, "Well, what a guy."
Yeah. No.
She was still a virgin when she conceived. So go figure that one out.
Jesus was the only child ever born that broke the cervix. Isn't that what it's called? That little membrane? The virgin membrane, there's a name for it. Hymen. Yeah. Anyhow, thanks for doctors. But he was the only one that ever broke it from the inside out. Right? She was a virgin. She never knew a man. So that hymen, that it was broken from as God was being passed through it, not as man was being passed through it. Right? Totally different type of conception, totally different type of birth. On a spiritual realm, right? But far as Mary was concerned, it was a very physical realm. She still hollered in pain when she had the baby, right? I wish Gayla was here, because she's a birthing nurse. What's that called?
Doula.
Hang down your head, Tom. Doula.
Well.
Yeah. Amen. That's what it was.
she was conceived of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you have all three
working together. Yeah. And there was a man, and so John, he was born of the worldly type. His dad Zechariah had to actually impregnate his wife Elizabeth, right? The old-fashioned way, right? And she had never had children. And she was of great age when she conceived, well past the time of childbearing. Anyhow, that we know how all those things happen. We ain't got to get into health. Yeah, the health of it all. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. So John's whole purpose was to make straight. In fact, Jesus said, Elijah has already come, if you could take it. And he was John the Baptizer, right? If you could understand it. To make straight the way of the king. Okay, the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I love it. It's singular. That light, only one. That light was the true light, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. Thank you. This is where we were. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received them, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right. Looking at this very conception of Jesus, right? What was his reason that he came into the world? Because this is all about truth. Right? This is what keeps us from being deceived. Knowing why he came, how he came, what he did. This will keep you away from all deception. This is the thing that brings you back. Remember where Paul wrote to the Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not believe the truth? Right? Well, they came away from the very truth of God. He said he was in the world, the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and they received him not. But as many, all right, as many that would receive him, what did he give them? Power. Now, I'm no Greek guy, but I remember this from going through a little bit of Bible study. It's called Dunamis, which is the same word used to describe the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Dunamis. The power, the igniting power. So just as the human flesh is conceived, and it starts with a spark of light, when the light of God hits the spirit of a dead man, a living, walking around, breathing man, and then God hits him with the dunamis, the power, all of a sudden he becomes what?
Child of light.
A child of light.
Son of God.
Son of God.
It says enlightens him. Power to become. Come. The power wasn't in... like Superman power, right?
Amen. Thank you.
Power to become.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:18.
Amen. Ephesians 1, that pulls right into this.
Oh,
this I got Ephesians 6. But you look at that.
Power
it is power.
Yeah.
There is power in the name. There's power in the light. And that truth is the truth that sets you free from all deception. I know that this seems very beginning.
Basic.
Well, practical Christianity, right? But if we don't know the beginning of truth, if we don't know where it started, then we'll never really even come close to comprehending it. I can't comprehend light. I know what the science says, that it's the spectrum and all that kind of stuff, and the light that we see is actually the mixture of six different lights. Or
seven.
Seven different
colored spectrum.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting?
Huh?
You take those same seven colors with a crayon and color them together, it's black.
Yeah.
Only light is white.
Amen. And that light is the thing that sets you free. Why? That you can become not the sons of your father, sin, right? I'm not talking about your dad. I'm talking about the inner man that was conceived out of Adam's race. We were all born into sin. We didn't have to sin, become sinners. We were born sinners. That's why we sin. All right, it's just our nature of things. And then when light, the true light, comes and illuminates the human being, you know, that was created in his image, then something different, we are revealed to the power of the Most High God. And in that power of the Most High God, what do you need to fear?
The Lord.
But nothing else, nothing that man can do to you, do you have to fear. There is no fear in love. Amen? Because perfect love casts out all fear. So in those truths, when we were talking in the beginning this morning, we were talking about a lot of things. Wars in Israel, landslides, earthquakes, you know, just things that are happening that are devastating. Demonic powers. Devil powers. I call them demonic. I know demonic is not a King James word, no doubt. But they're evil. Because evil is a King James word. Absolutely. All right? So evil powers at work on the present time that we're living in, that in our life we've never seen before.
Our Bible calls them devils.
Yeah.
Unclean spirits.
Yeah, unclean spirits. That'd be a good way to put it. I mean, and now they're coming out of the closet. They're not afraid of the light anymore, the true light of God. They're coming out and they're exposing themselves as who they are. The puppet masters are being shown, right? This Wizard of Oz, ignore the man behind the curtain, right? Well, they're coming, they're opening up the curtain that we can see. Most people who call themselves evangelical believers in Jesus Christ that don't read their Bible are being deceived by the things they see. They're calling it light, but it's actually darkness.
Their knowledge comes from the men.
Yes, their knowledge is coming from a professor.
Trusting, I trust my preacher to tell me the truth.
Right, amen. Now, I wouldn't purposely lie to you, but I have said some things that are untrue. Okay, now go ahead.
The only thing you can say perfect is the scripture.
Scripture, amen. All the rest of it is a lie.
Anything else you say,
amen.
Suspect,
go ahead.
Well, there was a great fear of the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And then the curtain was revealed and found out that the man had no power.
Yeah, amen.
Right.
Right, amen. The man has no power.
We feared this guy?
Right.
This is who we feared?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, when Satan comes down to men. Is this the one who made the nations tremble? You know, I mean, when the truth is known, you don't have to fear the darkness. When you know the light, darkness has no power. The grave has no sting, right? Death has no grip over the realness of God. Because we know through the word of God that when we breathe our last breath here, we will be in eternity. All right. It's just like being born. And I've used this analogy a lot, the natural birth. When the embryo is in the belly, it thinks it has everything it needs.
Right.
Has a heartbeat. It hears its mom breathing. It can sense the things that are going outside, you know, but it's trapped inside of a ball of water, right? And it thinks it gets food for without even chewing. It just goes right into the belly, right? First intravenous feedings. Right? It's just everything you need. It just happens. So when you're growing in that spot, it's warm, it's absolutely comfortable, everything you need is right there until you're forced through and all of a sudden you're into this much bigger cocoon called this life, which we might hang out here for 100 years, 80, 50, 20, whatever you ever, how long your life is. You're here for that long. And then you go through another matrix, another spot, and you enter into life eternal. And that is the whole, that's the whole truth. So this little bit between conception and the physical death, well, the scripture calls it but a vapor. It's a nothing. Everything that we're seeing that we're freaking out over is nothing on the big screen.
Right.
Nothing sandwich.
It's a nothing sandwich. Amen.
It's
But so many people, Christians, are being caught up in this
decision ground, though.
Yes, it is decision. Amen. The only thing that really matters is who you what you believe here. And you can either believe the deception or you can believe the truth.
Well, the shiny thing over here, it takes you away from this.
Thank you.
It focuses more on what's happening politically.
Ah,
I got to
yes.
watch everything today, and it takes you off of this.
Yeah. And it, from verse 14, the word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. All right.
Old and New Testament.
That's Old right. and New Testament. Amen.
Right.
Amos 7:8. I will set a plumb line. What is that plumb line that he sets? It is the very word of God. And in that, I got it, truth and grace here. I've been saying that I'm going to erase it and put it where it needs to be. It's actually grace and truth. The first and only dispensation that matters, what is it?
Grace.
Grace. It is the unfolding, the handing out, the dispensation, the dealing of the cards of the love of God to the individual.
Yep.
And if you receive your hand, anybody here ever play poker? Right? I did. I'm not a good poker player because I don't have a poker face.
I never learned euchre.
Euchre. I played spades and canasta and stuff like that. But anyhow, your face can tell it. It tells what you have, right? And if you got a good partner, it can read your face, right? If you're a bad poker player, you'll have a tell. I don't have anything.
Darn
really.
It.
Darn it. Shucks. Four aces in a row. Man, what do you do with that? It's a royal flush. I thought that was when the king went to the bathroom. So, anyhow. A royal flush? Get it, get it. So, wow, that went over like a lead balloon.
You were on such a roll.
I really... grace and truth. Where do you find this grace and truth, and how do you get to it?
Yeah, we know.
How? Well, if you know, tell me.
Scriptures.
Yeah, it is.
So really, grace has been dispensed, and you only get that grace by truth.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody tells you that there's another path is not true.
Can you find scripture to back that up? If I, or an angel of light.
Yeah. Galatians 1.
Amen.
Makes it clear. There's only one gospel.
Come and give you any other gospel, which is not the gospel. Then he says, anathema. Let him be cursed.
That's right.
If it's an angel, and we talked about this last week. If Lucifer can appear as an angel of light,
right.
If Satan can appear as an angel of light, how much more his ministers?
Yeah.
Those who are preaching a truth that is not the truth, don't they sound good? They're very convinced.
The guy that was sent to me, he said, well, of course, they had to be saved by works in the Old Testament because Jesus Christ had not been crucified yet. And I'm going, it says he was crucified from the foundation of the world, that plan was already in place. You know, it's just the lie that, one like you're saying, one lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie.
Well, they're living in time, and it's not in time.
It's right.
It's true. Christ didn't
right.
die in, until
right.
2,000 years ago,
right.
but he was always.
It's right.
It's not like he was never.
Before the foundation of the world, before the Spirit of God moved over the deep.
That's right. Before he made man.
Yeah.
The plan for Christ's death on the cross was already in play.
Mm-hmm.
Which he clearly says.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you'd read, you'd know that was true.
Yeah. And so this grace and truth, when Thomas came to ask him some stuff, right, there are some Gentiles that came to see Jesus, and Phil, not Donahue, but Philip, he went and he found Nathaniel, all right, and Thomas, not Philip, I'm sorry. And so... John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe ye also in me. We can park right there for a second. Let not your heart be troubled. What is trouble? Don't we get troubled because of deception? We get troubled because of fear. We get troubled because we believe something that's not true. When you're a little kid, I don't know if y'all were afraid of the boogeyman, the guy in the closet or whatever, you know.
Don't go in the basement.
Yeah, don't go in the basement. There's boogerman in the attic, you know. There's, you know, all these things. And we were taught these to be afraid, right? But the truth is there was nothing in the attic except some old toys that your folks didn't want you to play with, right? There's nothing in the basement except for the sump pump, you know, and some cobwebs. There's really nothing under your bed, you know. There's nothing in the closet. That's the truth. But because we, in our mind, were accepting an untruth, that there's a boogeyman, that dead people can touch you. Dead people have no power. Right? The dead, they're dead. Now, are there evil spirits? Amen, there are. Imitators of the dead. Familiar spirits, yeah. Right. Now, are they there? Amen and amen. But if you're in the light as he is in the light, that darkness has how much authority over you? None. This thing that's going on in Israel, does God know that it's going on in Israel? This thing that's going on in Russia and Ukraine, does God know this is going on in Russia and Ukraine? The messed up elections that were in somewhere in South America, God know that? Amen. Does God know how many rotations there are to the world before it stops spinning? There, it's all numerically planned out long before. There's an old saying, it's always darkness darkest just before the dawn. Right? In Noah's day, how evil was it?
Pretty evil.
It was. Man was doing, how's that put? What was right in their own eyes.
Judges. Was that Judges? Man was
it wasn't.
Right. It isn't Judges. I think it was part of the curse of the earth that man was doing what was right in their own eyes.
The world was exceedingly wicked.
Yeah.
Beyond wicked.
Yeah, beyond exceedingly wicked.
And it mentions violence.
Yes.
A lot of violence.
But you, like you said, Curtis, a defining word for trouble?
Yeah.
Tribulation.
Yeah.
It's a defined, they define each other. Affliction.
Affliction.
A defining word for tribulation or trouble.
And the wickedness of mankind. It came to pass, Genesis 6, 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters of men were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. All right. In other words, they didn't cheat. No, they were pretty to look at. And they took to themselves all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he is flesh. He also is flesh. Yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children unto them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God, the Lord, excuse me, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace. Amen.
13.
And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Amen. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Filled with violence.
Filled with violence. The thought,
and I would say what Ty was talking about, affliction, and
yes,
tribulation, and yeah, all that stuff. They're actually blessings.
Yes,
because that's what it says. And we're reading Daniel 11. You know, gone up even earlier, talking just the men of understanding will fall, try them to purge to make them white.
Right.
So there is what's coming is tribulation to the world. But there could be
purification,
multitudes,
to the saints.
That's
the
abundance of blessings that have come through this whole thing.
Amen.
That God, I mean, God is God can. This sword is going to cut this way, But when it comes back the other way, it's going to be a blessing.
Amen.
His own.
The burning,
like a
the,
scythe,
the fire
like a
that
scythe.
Destroys.
The burning of everything
yes.
brings
new life.
Wrath
yeah.
and blessing.
Right. Right.
Purification.
Purification.
Blackberries.
Yeah. Amen. Blackberries.
God,
you can love
them.
Mm-hmm.
And blackberries grow up. If you've had a field fire,
mm-hmm.
blackberries will be.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
They'll be the first thing that grows.
I did not know that. Okay.
And but so what we're seeing here that's making a lot of people fear, making a lot of people really look for a false savior, a lot of people waiting for the deception. In fact, they're already deceived because first they didn't love the light. You know, they didn't love the truth. Right, so God sent them a delusion, a strong delusion that they should believe the lie.
Bring us an enlightenment.
Yes, enlightenment.
Yeah.
We are, and don't get all wrapped up. Now, were there giants? I mean, actually, really, really big things. Amen. You know, there are fossil records of really, really big stuff.
Big.
Biblical ones. Amen. Right, there were actually really giant. Humanoids. And I will call them humanoids because it's the sons of God. Yeah. Amen. They were titans. They were
giants.
I mean, there were really... I listened to this, an account of the Pawnee Indians.
Yeah.
Right? And the Pawnee Indians fought these really large cannibal Indians. They were of the same type, Pawnee tribe.
Yeah.
And they were giants. They were cannibals.
Yep.
Six-fingered beasts.
When they were starting to cross over around Columbus time, the Spaniards were coming. They were running into giants
all the
over
time.
The
yes.
place. When they were just starting to discover America, the Seminoles were a tribe of giants.
Giants.
They were defying giants everywhere.
Right. So it's not like they stopped. All right. But one thing's for sure is we're not supposed to be afraid of that. What makes you not afraid of giants? What made David not afraid of the giant? God.
Is there not a cause he trusted God?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, he was offended by the giant.
Right.
How dare you?
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of like I say, the feeling I have about these people that say, how dare you stand before the living God?
But don't be going to find a sling and a stone. Am I right, Tom?
Right.
Don't do that.
I am a sling. But who was he offended with? Wasn't he more offended with his own army?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you let this guy talk about our
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, again, judgment has to start in the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Because if we don't get it right here, if we don't get this understanding truth right here inside of the believers, if we don't get this right, who will ever not be deceived?
Well, and there's another piece of this, I think, that there are layers of, in other words, there's no bottom here, right?
Right.
There's always more. And part of it is it's very difficult for us to apply truth to the lies we've been told.
Yes.
So we have a lens that we look through, and through that lens, we don't always recognize truth. When
mm-hmm.
we do, it's awkward, it's strange, it doesn't seem like this is truth because this is what I've always believed, and we have to chip away at our own faults. Right, our own prejudice, our own, the way we see things, our own foundation.
Yeah.
We have to chip away at that because it's based on deception.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is so cool because I had a broken pair of binoculars, right? The lenses and all were messed up. And I said, well, I want to see how these things work. So guess what I did? I took them apart. All right, hold on just a second because this is really cool. All right.
So while he's doing that, when we're told about the second coming, he always compares those days to the days of Noah and the days of Sodom. And even in Sodom, this is where I got this from, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That is beyond sin.
That's reveling.
That's like
constant
sin.
Yeah.
All right. Inside of binoculars, do you know how many lenses there are?
Six.
Actually, there's three right here in one. And then there's this one. Okay, there's mirrors on the inside of it.
I didn't know that.
But so me neither until I took it apart. I've never known what was on the inside. So this right here you hold up to your eyes. And this here hits, there's like a couple mirrors that hit. And then it goes through this weird triangular piece of glass.
Oh, that's like a mirror. Oh, that is fascinating.
All right, and somehow between that piece of glass and this piece of glass right here, you move the little knob that makes it go up and down or in and out and makes it further and closer together.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and pass that around. You can pass those. This here, I have two of those for my survival kit, you know, because they're really neat.
So this is magnified.
That's magnified. You can start a fire with that.
Okay.
That's why
and burn ants.
Maybe we'll do that later.
And so
at least a burn ants.
So in that, inside of those glasses by themselves, you really can't see anything. But when you take them and all put them all together and in the right, it had to be at a very precise angle for it to work. Right, those little triangle things. I mean, I've moved them all over the place. I can't make heads or sense out of them.
I took a pair apart. Yeah, I couldn't put them back together.
Oh no, you can't put them back together. I mean, and so I can't figure out how they work, but they work. All right, that's like God's word. It works. When we really get God in the right lens,
yeah.
Right? When we look at Him through the right lens, which is the written word of God, and we really and truly look at Him that way. All of a sudden, He becomes unfocused.
Right.
If you look at Him in any other way, through any other lens, He is out of focus.
Yep.
And you can believe the thing that you're looking at that's out of focus is the real God.
Yeah.
But it's not the real God. It's an illusion of who God really is.
It's those days, it's those times you read the scripture.
Yes.
And it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You read it and it's like, that's just not my experience.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when you're first saved. You're reading mm-hmm. the scripture. And when I read about women.
Right.
Women were to be, you know, the whole thing. And I'm reading it. It's like, that makes no sense.
Sense,
it's contrary to everything
I've
ever understood or believed. And yet I knew, because the Spirit of God was in me, I knew I was wrong.
Right.
It doesn't mean all of a sudden I saw it. And it was like, oh, okay, I get it. It was, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit with who I am.
Yeah.
So what's got to give?
Right.
Me.
Yeah.
And that's our lifetime.
In
right?
the beginning,
that's
it takes time.
It does.
It takes time for you to get to the point where you really trust God.
Because
that's what I prayed that night. I don't get it. I don't understand. All I know for sure, you're right and I'm wrong.
And that comes by, starts with F and ends in A.
Faith.
Because what I am seeing, what I have always known, makes absolutely no sense until God.
But I think even the mature believer, not to that degree, I'm going through it right now, or I was telling Debbie, I'm going through it right now.
Yeah.
Is that something occurs and I react to it because it's not comfortable for me, right?
Uh-huh.
And I react to it on an emotional level, and then it's like, wait, I need to dig deeper. This he's pulling away something else. There's another layer that I need to die to that I didn't identify until I went through the experience I've gone through.
Amen.
So it's sanctification.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the process of sanctification. And there is one more lens to that. It's the bottom of the lens of the thing, but I've got those put away. And so because they're really like cool magnifying glasses. And so this is just that first verse of John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believed in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. All right? And it means mansions, not dwelling places. When those new translations of the Bible say it's dwelling places, no. This is a mansion. It's more of a mansion that you could ever imagine. The building of God, the new Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven, is, I don't even know if mansion is a good enough word for it.
The word mansion does not mean bigger.
No.
It means better.
It means better.
Yeah.
Whatever you can imagine it is better.
It's a better tabernacle.
Yeah, a more perfect tabernacle. Go ahead, Alan.
I've heard it explained that this is,
mm-hmm.
our heart is God's mansion.
Yeah.
Okay, a better mansion than what it was before you met
Christ. Oh, praise God. That's true. But he says, I go to prepare a place for you.
Right.
So, and if I go, then I'll come again, and I'll make our dwelling place in you. So he takes this heart that is wicked and desperately evil, and he comes and he brings light into it, which is the light of all men, and he illuminates the wholeness of it. the fullness of God. And in our heart, Doug has explained it before, and he does it so eloquently, that there is a direct correlation between our heart and our brain.
Your heart contains brain cells.
Yeah.
I think it's around 40,000 or something.
Yeah. And so this, when they connect, right, when God lives in your heart and he hits your brain and those ever how many cells that are unified and connecting, they just haven't fired off until the illumination happens. When the light, when that light pierces through the darkness of your twisted DNA, right? And that light comes through and it starts making that connection, that nerve ending between flesh and spirit and flesh. Then truth starts to develop inside of the individual, which causes you not to be deceived. The only problem is it's a very thin and fragile iniquity can break it, all right? Iniquity can break that connection, that that illumination.
Corinthians, he calls your body the temple.
Temple, yep.
Right, the tabernacle. So even though we have this man of perfection dwelling within us, the our temple is defiled.
Yeah.
And when Christ comes, he's going to give us a better temple. Now, you can see it right there in verse 15. I always thought this too. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Where is the Father's house? It's in heaven. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go where? To heaven.
To heaven.
To prepare a place for you. But here's the key. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come.
Come
where?
Right.
He's coming here with the bodies.
Yes.
It's there. He's coming here with the bodies. And when we meet him in the air, he's going to clothe us. See, because the pre-trib, it destroys pre-trib.
What are we clothed?
Because they tell you you get resurrected when you go at the rapture.
What are we clothed with?
Perfection.
Righteousness.
Light.
That's right.
We're clothed with light, perfection, where there is no darkness at all.
Clouds are light.
Yeah.
He cometh with clouds.
Yeah.
Where are the clouds?
Well, when this New Jerusalem comes out of heaven and talks about so many 15 furloins or furlongs. Yeah. Furloin, that's a loin that has hair on it. And so... I'm talking backstrap on a deer.
We were doing well.
I really was. What happens? My mind. It's a. I'm a sinner, right? I'm a sinner.
It's interesting, though, because we're going to be flesh and bone.
Yes.
Because we're going to be like him, and that's
right.
What he is.
That's right.
It's flesh and bone.
Yeah.
And that bone still exists.
Yeah.
Even after you die.
Even after you die.
But it has to be changed, as Corinthians says.
Yes.
And that's everybody. That's not just a group of people that are getting raptured 7 years before another rapture. Or, you know what I mean? This is everybody. He says, I will come again and receive you. Or where are we told when he's going to receive us? In the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
There's your resurrection. There's the rapture.
And he talks about the unity there. Where I am, there you'll...
Which means the dead go... And Paul says in Thessalonians, the dead rise first.
Right.
We're going to see that.
Yes, I believe that.
And that's where every eye sees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When he comes, when this kingdom comes.
That's right. And he's coming here. Why does he say, I will come again? And then after that he says, that where I am, there ye may be also. Why? Because he's coming here.
Right.
He's coming here
with
our new bodies, a new heaven, a new earth.
Because the old one's going to be done away with. And so, that's truth. Now, do you believe it's truth?
I do.
All right. Well, again, the cool thing about truth is you ain't got to believe it.
That's right.
Because it's truth. It's going to happen just this way.
Yeah, and he warns people, be not deceived.
It's
our
choice.
Right.
Yeah.
If it was
his choice, he wouldn't have to warn us.
Right.
There's a role.
There's a role.
In his sovereignty.
And it's going to come together somewhere out here in the future. It's going to meet. I think we're a lot further down that track than what we may imagine that we are.
10 out of 11 people will believe by hearing.
Yes.
But 1 out of 11 had to see.
Right. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And Tom himself.
Thomas had to see.
Yep. And so, where I am there, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus says this, all right? I am the way, amen? The truth and the life. What did we just find out about life? What is it? It's another L word and ends in it. Light. Life is light. And Jesus is the light that lighteth every man. John chapter 1, we just went over that. All right. Truth. Jesus. When Jesus said, I am the truth. See, often in the church or in the world, we think of truth as the concept of no lying. All right. That's a truthful person. I have news for you. There is no truthful people. All men are liars, you know, and I mean, that's just what we are. You know, you can't help it. We all lie, you know.
Well, you
have a trinity then.
Yeah.
Way, life.
Right.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So, and Jesus is that. He says, I am the way.
No other way to come to the Father.
No, but by me, through him, by him. There is no other way to enter into the truth. There is no other way to enter into the way. There is no other possibility of life than with no other possibility with life than without light. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of words.
He is the only religious leader that put it on himself.
Yeah.
All other religions teach, well, there are many paths.
Right.
Even some Christian cults.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
Well, and we could go Baptist. I mean, we ain't got to go... Those guys, we can go MacArthur,
right?
We can a lot of names. You can say Curtis, all right? Because I try real hard not to go that way. But I could, if I got away from this and started doing something different, I could easily be pulled down a different road. I mean, because I am a sinner by trade.
Right?
I was born that way. We all are. The only thing that sets us free from that is Jesus. The only thing that brings us into security is Jesus. The truth, the trust, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the understanding that he is. When Jesus says, I am, there's another place, and it says the six I ams of Christ that are in the book of John. He is. Right? He is. He is true. Be not deceived. There's many that will come in his name. We could go back to Matthew 24. And he says, listen, these are the things that are going to come to pass. Believe me, because I told you. These are the things that are going to come to pass. We are watching in our time the ability to number every single human being. To track them by DNA. To track them on what you buy, what you sell, what you watch on the internet. The YouTube stuff that you watch, or Facebook that you read into, anything that goes from the prince of the power of the air, this thing right here that's in front of me, is going out via the air waves, and it can be picked up and tracked and followed by anything.
I know. I started studying prophecy 25 years ago, and I'd say, how's that going to play out? How are
yeah.
they going to do that? How are they gonna... And here it is, right in front of you.
Yeah.
It's right in front of you.
Right in front of us. Yeah. It never thunk. I never, ever, ever, ever imagined the evil, the just pure wickedness that we just saw played out on the world stage.
Yeah. In front of everybody.
In front of everybody. Unashamed.
Blasphemy.
Open yeah.
blasphemy.
And it wasn't just that. It's just, it's the whole thing. A man boxing a woman. I never, ever in my whole world, I had three sisters. Well, first they could beat me up, but...
I was told by my father, you do not hit girls.
Girls.
You don't hit girls, you protect girls, you protect
yeah.
your sisters, and these work girls are getting bludgeoned.
Yeah.
Not even for a gold medal?
Not even for a gold medal.
You can see how they're placing it in the social context.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're manipulating, so mm-hmm. pretty soon it's going to be very commonplace
right.
for a man to be the
Well, you introduce
of
it first.
Speaking of answered prayer, Dave Cole,
hey,
my brother.
Hey.
God bless you. Hey, my friend.
What they do is they introduce it first.
Yeah.
There's pushback,
mm-hmm.
and then there's an acceptance.
It becomes normalized.
It becomes normalized.
So I read last night that the artist that did the whole depiction of the thing at the Olympics, the guy that designed it, got struck by a freak lightning strike. He's in the hospital.
Oh.
Yes. God is still on the throne.
So maybe God's not done with him.
Amen. Yeah, because he didn't kill him.
I remember there was a couple of years ago, some lady mocking God openly. She was a
fell out.
Right?
Fell out on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
She went into a seizure.
Yeah.
She fell right there, right?
Yeah, right in front of him. Yeah. And so anyhow, it's it's
so
10 till.
Talking about the deception and across the air with... I sent some stuff out to a couple people, and I went to send it to somebody else, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If they can do that,
yep.
Can't they take this message that you're listening to and change it?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. We haven't even started talking about AI.
Right.
I think it's 6 words. If they can record 6 words, they can make AI say anything. And use your voice,
right.
The rhythm, the sound, the accent that you have. And they can duplicate you perfectly within seconds. Yeah.
Well, sight too, not just sound.
Yeah, sight.
Well, they're going to make an image, and that image is going to come to life.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a hologram?
No.
It's going to come to life.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't be deceived when you see these things, all right? So anyhow, by the grace of God, we...
If you see it, rejoice.
Yeah, amen. Rejoice. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.
And what's he tell you to do?
Look up.
Look up. Yeah. And so, again, great Bible study. We just don't seem to have enough time for it every week. But we did get through 1.5 scriptures. You know, again, this thing, truth, there's 250 times it's mentioned in the Bible.
We still didn't do them justice.
No, we did not.
Even
amen.
Time we spent,
we're
going to start, we got enough, we got deems here. We're going to start at 8 o'clock from now on.
It's okay by me. I'm here. I'm here at 5 o'clock. Y'all want to come early? We can start talking this stuff.
We cover a lot of depth.
Yeah.
A lot of depth.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of churches that are 17 miles wide and 2 inches deep.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, our church is 17 miles deep and 2 inches wide.
I love it when God brings things to my mind.
Yeah.
They're not coming from me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a unity here. We're all on the same page.
Oh, and this just proves Corinthians 14, that the Holy Spirit is the one who's leading
right.
the
Amen.
Church, if you allow him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you leave it all up to one person, you've got...
Yeah.
Riches
Amen.
And no depth.
Yep. Yeah. And so, and look around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's all. Oh, 12. Interesting number.
But we're the ones that want to come off the milk and onto the meat.
Yeah. And so, anyhow. If y'all want to have something to chew on and drink and use the restroom, wash your hands, comb your hair, I've got to stop. Amen. So anyhow, praise God. Lord, we thank you so much for the time. Lord, if we have said anything outside of your word, we do pray for forgiveness, Lord, and that anybody within the sound of this recording that would hear it, Lord, that it would open up their desire. I thank you for Tom and the way that he's reaching out and willing to fight. Amen. Just willing to fight. You gave him a warrior's heart. And Lord, I thank you for that. Allow where he meets and talks and witnesses to folks and is able to share the light and the love and the hope that we have within us. Lord, I just thank you for that. For all the folks that are here, Lord, and desiring to be a tool in the hand of the Most High God. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask a blessing in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.